from 1 Corinthians 13:13. The scripture says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for the word that is written for us, for our learning and our edification, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit teaches today every person that is here and all those that will be listening on the web. Lord, I thank you that your word is quick and powerful. It's alive. And as it is sent out, it never returns void, but it accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So, Lord, we open up our hearts today to the Holy Spirit to teach us. And the church said, amen. 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 Last week we studied faith, and we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the word for word in that scripture is the Rhema Word of God. We have the written Word of God, the Logos Word that is eternal in the heavens. It never changes. And what it says is going to come to pass. But the scripture is talking about the Word of God that Jesus speaks to us. Because God is speaking to us every day. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and no other will they follow." And so faith comes by hearing what Jesus is saying to you. Faith came to Abraham when God came and talked to him and gave him the promise that he would be the father of many nations. He heard the word of God and he had to hold on to that. You see, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then as we hope, we hold on to the promises of God. Because we can trust him, right? We can trust God. You can hope in that which you can trust. Even though you can't see it, you can hope in it. Amen. So this morning we're going to take a look at hope. Hope is something that gives us a reason and motivates us to move forward. Hope that comes from God is the kind of hope that holds on regardless of the circumstances. Yeah. Regardless of what's going on, we continue to hope in that which we have been promised. And I sense by the Spirit of the Lord this morning that some of you are stuck kind of between hope and hopelessness. You're kind of wavering back and forth. And so as I prayed over this message, I pray that God will give you the hope and stabilize you this morning that you need. Amen. Proverbs 13:12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When things are delayed, sometimes we lose hope. You've probably heard the idiom, hoping against hope. Hoping against all hope, which really doesn't quite make a whole lot of sense, but we're not hoping against hope, but we do hope in the Lord. Hope. When things don't happen quite like we thought they should, yeah, it makes the heart sick. You're disappointed. You're discouraged. God understands all of that. The Israelites found themselves in that place, that they were feeling hopeless. They had hung their harps upon the trees. And the Israelites were people that loved to sing, they loved to dance, they loved to celebrate. Have you ever noticed that in the Old Testament? Amen. They liked to celebrate. Church wasn't boring for them. They liked to get together, sing songs, and worship God. But they were in captivity, and they took their harps, and they hung them in the trees, and they were not going to sing. They said, "How can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land?" They had been taken captive in a foreign land. And then the psalmist David wrote in Psalms 42:11, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" Downcast means, why are you depressed? Why, soul, that's your mind, your will, and emotions, David saying, why are you so disturbed within me? And then he starts to encourage himself. He says, put your hope in God. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself to encourage yourself where you need to be focused and putting your hope. Because if your hope is in this world, you're going to be miserable. That's what the scripture tells us. And we know that's the truth. So many things have happened just this week. I stood here last week sharing the sadness and the weeping of the Christians in our nation over the violence. And then here we are this week and we had that horrible incident in France. And the Turkey coup and everything that's going on. The world is reeling and rocking. It is reeling and rocking. So we, as Christians, we pray, number one, for those that are in those situations. But most of all, we've got to stay stabilized in Christ. We can't get caught up in all of the fear, because that's what the enemy would want to do to distract us from serving God. Or give up hope. What's the use? Is that? Yeah. You've probably heard that before. Why even try? Well, we're trying because in the end, God says we win. Amen. Someday the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. Someday all of the heavens and earth will pass away. And God will have a new earth. New heavens and new earth. We're going to need it. Amen. So put your hope in God. Tell your neighbor, put your hope in God. So regardless of the discouragement we're facing, we can still overcome with hope in God. Because God is greater than problems. He's greater than people. Aren't you glad about that? God is greater than people. And he's greater than the predicaments that you find yourself in. And sometimes we get ourselves in some predicaments, right? But God knows that we need hope in our lives or we'll perish. And I read a story about a Jewish man. His name was Viktor Frankl. And he was a Jew who lived in Nazi Germany. And he was arrested. And he was sent to a Nazi death camp. And there he watched men live in inhuman conditions. And he saw many stronger than him just wither and die. And from this, he learned lessons about survival. And one of the key things he observed was the power of hope. Those who had hope could survive almost anything. But those who didn't, he watched them die. As Frankl put it, he said, the prisoner who had lost faith and hope in the future, his future, was doomed. With his loss of belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. He let himself decline and became subject to mental and physical decay. Hope is a powerful virtue, and God knows that we need hope. Tell someone close to you, I need hope. Romans 8, 24 through 25 tells us, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently for it. We're studying faith, hope, and love from 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul was actually speaking to the church because of the conflict that was going on in the church. People think that this love chapter is for weddings and marriages. And yes, it is. We should love in our marriage and it's great to use at weddings. But in reality, Paul used this chapter to talk to the church about love. And the problem was that the Corinthians were focused more on what they could see. They liked the power gifts, the gifts that were obvious. And they start arguing and fighting for position. and showing off their power gifts. And Paul was saying, hey, wait a minute. All of this is going to pass away. But the three things that are going to remain is faith, hope, and love. And hope is powerful. We cannot live without hope. It anchors our soul. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hebrews 6:19. What is the hope that anchors our soul? It's the hope of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Earlier in that chapter, Paul is talking about Jesus entering in behind the veil and sprinkling his blood on the mercy seat. And today, as we sit here, the blood of Jesus cries out mercy for each one of us. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus paid the price that we could not pay. God required a perfect lamb, and he was a perfect man, and he gave his life. So our soul this morning is anchored. Who remembers that old song? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Do we have anyone here that still remembers that? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Help me. Steadfast and sure while the billows roll. You don't remember that one? Well, Pastor Nancy shaking her head yes and not helping me sing. Is it fastened to the rock which cannot move? Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Yes? Who else was singing? Oh, okay. All right. Janet and Janet, duet here. Yeah. It anchors us. Because these three will remain. Faith, hope, and love. We're admonished to share the reason for our hope. 1 Peter 13, or 3, 13 through 15. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Now, when we suffer for what is right, we don't always feel real blessed. Is that right? Got to be honest about it, but we need to remember what the word says, right? I'm suffering for what it is right, and now I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Then it says, do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Hope inspires us to look forward with expectation to the great things God will do in us and through us and with us. Our faith is in God, and we should be able to give a reason of our hope. So first of all, you better look like you're hoping in something, right? Because if you're walking around looking all depressed at work, no one's going to want to know what you got. Because they don't want any of that. There's lots of that around. So we should be able to give a reason for why we have joy in our heart. Why we're not afraid of the things that we see coming to pass. Jesus said, don't be afraid of them, but look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. So really, we should be rejoicing. Hallelujah. The world is falling apart. Yes. So we can be hopeful that God will accomplish his purpose in us. We can have hope that the process that he's putting us through is for our good and for his glory. So whatever you're going through this morning, you can have hope that God is on your side. And God is working it all together for good. Because you love him. Janice loves him and she's called according to his purpose. And God is working it out for her. Amen?
Amen.
See, we got to talk to ourselves and encourage one another. That's why we gather together, because we need a little encouragement. It's like Elder James said this morning, we're bombarded on every side with all kinds of news. And it can really get you down if you let it. And you may not even realize how much of it you're taking in. But I like to just separate myself from the world. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. The world has nothing to offer us. Nothing to offer us. Is someone asking Siri if the world has anything to offer us? I heard you. You heard that too, huh? Okay, let's go on. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to get into that overflow of hope. So what does it say again? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. There we go. What's the key word there?
Trust.
As we trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power. Come on. Everyone likes power, right? A little power there. By the power of the Holy Spirit. When we trust in God, we'll live in an overflow of hope. We need an overflow. When there's an overflow, it touches other people, right? Don't be keeping your hope to yourself. There should be an overflow that you can give some hope away. Because there's more where that came from, right? God will keep filling us with hope, and then we can give it away. Hope in the Lord. And I'm not talking about going out and preaching to somebody in the grocery store. I'm talking about having the wisdom of God, right? Having that rhema word for yourself, that you can encourage yourself in the Lord. And you get that rhema word, a word of encouragement to give hope away. People need something to hope in. They need something to hope in. Let's go on to Romans 5, verse 1 through 5. It says, hope does not put us to shame. So we're going to read through this passage. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when we read Romans 5, hope comes from rejoicing in our sufferings. If we can praise God when we're under any form of attack or persecution, this will cause us to persevere. You got to keep pressing through. Otherwise, you'll just throw in the towel and call it quits. You got to keep pressing through. Hope is what helps us do that. And then from perseverance, we will have a stronger character and we'll have more resilience to any future trials, attacks. The character formed in the knowledge that God has brought us through once will increase our hope in His promises. Remember, faith is the assurance that if God said He will do it, He will do it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right. And then we hope in that, in the promise that God has given us. This kind of hope holds on to God's promises through all situations. And hope does not put us to shame. Don't be ashamed of the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Hope in Jesus purifies us, the scripture says. Hope purifies us. First John 3:3, all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Have you ever thought about hope purifying you? Having hope in Jesus Christ purifies us. Paul was encouraging the Corinthians that this should be the hope of the church. He wanted them to realize that the world did not have anything to offer them. He wanted them to realize they were acting like the world when they're arguing over spiritual gifts. Yeah. He talks about just acting like mere men, you know, fighting over this and that. But he wanted them to get an eternal view for the kingdom of God. We pray this all the time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. God is releasing His people, I believe, with a greater open communication and ability to reach people. A boldness to reach people. Because we can't keep this to ourselves. And if we're fearing that someone's going to reject us when we share the good news with them, then we'll never share it. Because someone's going to reject you. Is that right? Someone will reject us. They will reject the gospel. And what we as ministers of the gospel, everyone here is a minister of the gospel, just don't take it personal. Because it's not about you, it's about they reject Jesus in you when you share with them. Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. We're getting just a little glimpse of what it's like to live in a world without God. Just a little glimpse. And you ask yourself, how could someone do that? Drive a truck through a crowd of people who are celebrating a holiday. Families were there together. How could someone do that? And we have to remember that the scripture tells us that you cannot serve two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other. There's no middle choice here. Either you serve Jesus Christ or you serve Satan. That's how it works. You're either in the kingdom of light or you're in the kingdom of darkness. And if you are a servant and your taskmaster is Satan, then you are going to do things that you never believed that you could do or you would do. Because their parents, most of the time, the parents are saying, I cannot believe my child did that. I can't believe my son, my husband, I can't believe they did that. Well, it's hard to believe, but when Satan is your taskmaster, you see, when you're a servant, your taskmaster decides what you're going to do. And so they're a slave to the powers of darkness. And I'm not so sure that we've really had that revelation before. We're real quick to judge, condemn. That's horrible. I agree with all of that. But how sad that that soul was sold out to the kingdom of darkness, and that was their choice to serve that master. Because you can't serve two. You have to choose sides here. God said, who's on the Lord's side? Come on over. Come on over. And so you have to choose. God said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Every morning when we get up, we have a choice who we're going to serve. And no one can take that away from you. You know, even though in Russia they pass laws to restrict the church from spreading the gospel, they cannot take away a person's choice to serve the Lord. And God will make a way because the church seems to grow in the midst of persecution. He'll make a way. He always does, Ruthie. He makes a way where there seems to be no way because He is the way maker. Someone needs to hear that this morning. He's the way maker. When you cry out to God, whatever situation you're in, wherever you're at, He always hears you. I don't know how He does it when you think of all the millions of people in the world that are crying out to God and praying different things. But He does, because He's God. He's God. He knows everything. He's sovereign and He sits high up in the heavens. And He listens to the cry of His people. He listens to us. There was a time that we were in the world and we had no hope, but now we do. And we're to share with other people the reason why we have this hope. And it will never cause us to be ashamed. If we're ashamed, then we need to check our own heart, right? Because the message that we have is good news of the kingdom of God. Good news. There was a former Air Force. This was what he was an instructor in. Air Force Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. Called an SERE. If my son-in-law, Chad, was here, he'd probably know what I was talking about. But he made this observation. He has what he called the rule of threes. He said, you can survive 3 days without food, 3 days without water, 3 hours without shelter, 3 minutes without air, but not 3 seconds without hope. Hope is powerful. God knows that we need hope to live. Titus 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We wait for the blessed hope. And not only are we waiting for one day for our King of Kings to return, But every day, as we walk through life, we walk through situations where we need Him to show up right now. Right now, I'm looking for that blessed hope. My girlfriend Helen was looking for that blessed hope in her grandson's hospital room because we need His appearing right now in our situation. So we can cry out to the Lord and He will hear our cry. That's faith. We have faith in God. Faith, hope, and love will remain. I read a saying on Facebook this morning. It says, the deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of the pain, thanking God during the trials, trusting Him, and when we're tempted to lose hope, and loving Him when He seems so distant and far away. So if the Lord feels far away this morning to you, He's not. He's not. He's right here. He's right here. He's always there. You know, we're the one that moves away from Him. He doesn't move away from us. He's always there. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's always there. Because He has your name. And it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're one of His children. And He's watching over you. I want to encourage you this morning. God commands His angels and gives them charge over you. That's the unseen realm that we cannot see. Sometimes you see angels. Sometimes people think they see angels and it was the pizza they ate. So we don't get real spooky spiritual. But we can see the manifestation of angels as they move on our behalf. I was with a street team in Fort Wayne witnessing in a really rough area of Fort Wayne. And they didn't tell us until we were getting ready to go that three people had been shot execution style, like, you know, a couple weeks before that as we were going down there. I'm like, oh, thanks. Can I get off the bus? But we went down there. And there was, we were prayer walking this area. And there was a very large man that started heading towards me. And I was with another woman, and Leonard was with some guys on the other side of the street. And he came walking up, and he was up to no good. He was up to no good. And he came walking up to me, and he reached around me like this, like he was going to grab me in the rear end, really. That's, he was coming at me. And all of a sudden, that man flew up in the air about 6 feet. And landed on his rear end. And the whole team, everyone everywhere, you know, saw it. And Leonard comes running, a little late, honey. So the angels had to take charge. But he came running and we, yeah, turned that guy over to the men and we just kept going. But I'm like, thank you, Lord. He gives His angels charge over you, and He'll keep you. If you're in the place where God has assigned you to be, He's going to take care of it. Amen? Because I believe He is our shield. He is a shield. He goes before us, and He goes behind us. He's on every side. We can't see Him, but we believe that He is there because His Logos word, that's eternal, tells us that He is. And when He sends us on assignment, we pray. And when we get the Rhema word of the Lord, that we're to go, we go. And as I shared before, concerning our Kenya trip, For those of you that were not here, there were some very dangerous situations that we were faced with. Near accidents and being detained and arrested and held by foreigners with guns. Yeah. But God was with us. In that situation, we had to wait patiently on the Lord to deliver us. And I kept thinking about Granny, because Granny would be saying, oh, everything's going to be all right. If she had a cell phone, I would have been calling Granny. Help. It was interesting because when we went, Mom is one of my intercessors, and my friend Prophetess Ina, the other intercessor, both of them ended up in the emergency room in the hospital while we're on this trip. Two key intercessors. And when that happened, we knew that the enemy was really trying to disrupt, because both of them came out of the hospital just fine. But you see, the enemy will try to disrupt God's plans and discourage you, like, oh no, what am I going to do? God is still in control. I often share things that Granny would share, and the grandchildren, Bryson, Brianna, and Micah, the three that were on stage together last week, they were riding in the back seat of my car one day, and they were talking about who's in charge. You know how kids like to take charge. Is that right, Chase and Susan? You got some kids that like to take charge. So they're talking about who's in charge. And so one of them come up with, well, God's in charge. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They all agreed with that, because Mimi would turn around and whack them if they... God is in charge. And so then another one came up with, well, Jesus is next, right? God, Jesus, yeah, 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 yeah. And then they said, well, who's next? And one of them said, Granny. So I told Mom, I said, I guess you're Holy Spirit, because your voice is talking to them, and they put you in charge. You're third in command. So sweet. But God is in charge. He is. And aren't we glad He is? Because He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever even ask or think or imagine. He is so good to us. So good to us. I would ask that the church this morning, let's just extend our hands over towards Tom Sin. Tom lost his brother, and he's still feeling discouraged and grieving. Has anyone here ever lost a close family member? You know the pain of that. And it's difficult for him to get out and get to church. But, you know, last night he texted me and he said, I'm coming tomorrow. And that's good, because when we isolate ourselves, you know, things can get worse. And just being around people and just being in the presence of God. The presence of God is here. And just coming in and gathering in with the saints, you're changed. The Lord transforms us. His spirit, His presence. It's a supernatural act that He does. He gives us faith, hope, and love. So this morning I'm going to ask you, I don't want you to bombard him after service. Please don't do that. But pray for Tom. Pray for him, and let's just extend our hands to him this morning. And this is our prayer to you, Tom, because we love you, and you are a part of this body. And Father, we lift Tom up to you, and we thank you, Lord, for touching his heart this morning. And you drew him here today, your Holy Spirit. You wanted him to sit with God's people. So, Lord, as we stretch our hands toward him, we just extend our love to him, and we just extend a spirit of comfort to him. Lord, heal his heart and fill the void of the passing of his brother. And Lord, we ask you that you wrap your arms around him and carry him through this time. And together, we just break off that spirit of discouragement. in Jesus' name. And we command any spirit of fear or depression to leave him in Jesus' name. And we release the healing power of God to him to heal his heart and to heal his mind. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. And once again, I'm going to tell you, don't bombard him, but pray for him. Would you pray for him this week? Because wouldn't you like to see him here next Sunday? Yeah. When someone's missing, we miss them. Yes, and we miss our guys that are up at the retreat, but I'm sure they're having a wonderful time. Amen. And do I have a praise team out here yet? But they're coming soon. Here they come. Yay. God is good. All the time. He is so good. I'm getting ready for my mission trip to Korea. So keep me in your prayers. I'm going with prophetesses Ina and Vernella Smith, and we leave August 3rd, so we're getting close to the countdown. And just keep us in your prayers. It seems like every time we go, the nut in North Korea starts shooting missiles or something. It never fails when we get there. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to the city tonight where his missiles are aimed. I'm like, oh, good. But God gives his angels charge over us, right?
Yeah.
And in the heavenlies, God rules and reigns. That gives me comfort. With all the chaos and confusion that Satan is releasing in the land, we thank God for his rule and reign. Evil can only go as far as he allows it to go. And as I shared with you a couple weeks ago, that God has given this church a prayer assignment. He's given us a prayer assignment to pray over the areas where manufacturing used to be, where there are vacant factories, and now there are vacant land where they used to manufacture. But he gave us that assignment for Elkhart County. And when I checked with other intercessory groups and people who prayed, they said no one that they know of has ever done that in Elkhart County. Now, we've prayed the boundaries. We've prayed lots of things. Everyone has prayed in lots of ways. But this is a specific assignment. And there's other churches that said they'd like to join in with us. And I spoke with Ellen Stanley, who has headed up Michiana Prayer Network for years. And she's coming to teach the first Friday night in August on God's love for the land and teach us how to break the curses that have been placed on our land and release the blessing and the will of God. And coming in tune with creation. So God has a plan for each one of these places. And that's what we're going to do then on Saturday morning. Is Ellen and is coming to take out whoever wants to go pray. And you pray about that. I know we have intercessors that love to go on prayer trips, but some of you maybe have never done that and you would like to join the group. But Ellen will be leading a group, and Leslie is putting together a plan for areas to pray in the northwest side of Elkhart County, over by where CTS and Leonard and I live, over that direction, where Bear used to be, and there's Walter Pianos used to have a big factory there. I think Adams Westlake used to be over there. If you know of places, factories, some of you old Elkhartans that have been here a long time that used to be there that are vacant now or have been torn down, we want to pray over the land. And what we do is we'll take a stake, a wood stake. Pastor Leonard will make stakes, and he'll write a scripture on them, or we'll do that in the prayer activation, and we drive a stake into that land. You see, we're putting an altar there. We're putting a stake there. And then we salt the land and we oil the land. And that's part of our cleansing property that we do as a prayer group. And then also this last year, we started gathering rocks. And we have rocks that are in our praise and worship. Because if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out, right? The last two prayer assignments we've gone on, we've taken a praise rock with us. And we leave a praise rock on that land. And then we take a stone from that land and bring it back with us. And we put it in the basket to be saturated in worship with us and praise. Because if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He loves the land. He loves you, but He really loves the land. He's about the land. And so we're on an assignment from God. And I just want to encourage you, if you can get out that first Friday, Ellen is an excellent teacher. She'll have question answer time. And she's just a really good teacher. And so she'll be with us Friday night. Leslie's getting a plan for prayer on Saturday. And also Pastor Valerie from Elijah's Fire said she would join us on Saturday and some of her intercessors to go out on our prayer assignment. I would like to get it done, all the areas of Elkhart County, which is a huge job because we have Goshen. So over there in the land of Goshen, I don't know what needs to be prayed over, but if could you and Pastor Toby get an idea of what you would suggest the areas to go and pray? And yes. Saturday morning, they meet about 9, around 9. We just confirmed everything after the bulletin was printed, sorry. So all the update will be in there for next Sunday. It'll all be there. It gives us a few weeks to plan. So we are ready for our closing song. Let's all stand this morning.